Now, excuse me, cut that off just a minute for me. Life would remind me about that. Glad I'm saved this morning. A lot of places we could be. My wife asked me last night, "What are you preaching this morning?" I said, "Honey, I don't know, but I got an inkling of what it'll be about. And I got my study this morning. I've often wondered, Lord, why? I sure wish you'd deal with me on Thursday morning. Give me time to really look at this thing and get it set just right." I think a lot of times He don't want what we can do. If He'll just give us the thought, then He'll do all the rest, won't He? Remember Brother Chuck Shaddix's mother not doing well. Please pray for her today. They're there in Atlanta at Emory with them, and you pray God would help her in these days. Well, the book of Isaiah, I feel like we need a lot of preaching today. We hadn't preached in two Sundays. And we sure do need preaching. Our country's not in the shape it's in today because of preaching, but because of the lack thereof. And I'm glad that I can go to a church where preaching is the norm. It's not the abnorm, but it is the norm. And so I just bless the Lord for it. If you'd pray for me, we're a little stiff-necked today. And I sure do need the Lord's touch and help. Isaiah 59 and verse number 15. "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." Notice that. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Now, the devil didn't mind you till you swapped sides of the track. And then he says, "And the Lord saw it, and it displeased Him that there was no judgment." In other words, the Lord seen it, and He said, "You know, that's not judged right." He said, "A man ought to not receive evil for doing good." And He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Oh my. "Therefore His arm brought salvation unto him, and His righteousness, it sustained him. For He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon His head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according He will repay fury to His adversaries, recompense to His enemies. To the islands He will repay recompense." Now here it is, verse 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun." Underline it. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the capital Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That word standard means to chase or to put to flight. So he says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard or a way against him. Aren't you glad God still makes a way for His young? I'm still convinced more today at this hour what God will bring you to. He'll bring you through. I won't preach on this passage today on when the enemy comes in like a flood. You may be seated. Father, I sure do need You today. I need You to touch my spirit. I pray that God, You would loose me this morning in the Holy Ghost. I plead the blood of the darling Lamb of God. I plead the blood against the devil that's coming against me today. And God, in body and in spirit, I sure do need You to help this preacher this morning. Would you speak to the hearts of us? We sure do need you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Now, first of all, notice there is an encounter. When? Somebody said, well, you know, if I'll just pay my tithes, pay my bills, love Jesus and get in a good Baptist church, then all my troubles is going to be over. Well, let me tell you, all your burning troubles will be over, honey, but let me tell you, when you done swap sides of the fence of the enemy, you'll find out that there is a real encounter of the devil. He says now, when, not if, not maybe, you're going to lie. And now some of you today, you ain't having no devil trouble. But you just hold on. If you'll get real close to Jesus and get filled with the Holy Ghost and get surrendered and yielded to Him, honey, the devil's coming down to where you live. Now there is an encounter when there is an engagement. The enemy. You know, I'd be careful about talking about my preacher about he's always kicking and cutting something. Because last I checked in, we're in the Lord's army. Amen. He's given me a rifle to shoot. And He's given me a magazine full of ammo. He's given me 66 books. Missile launchers. Give me a King James Bible that still shoots right. So don't be offended if your preacher shoots at something. Matter of fact, if you'd get some guts, God might call you into this army. He don't need sissies, He needs warriors. He don't need folks running in the foxhole. He needs folks standing up against the enemy. Some of you boys tickle me. You know how to fight. Roll your sleeves up and duke and wrestle. Won't you stand up before the enemy that's trying to get your home this morning? The average Baptist preacher, the devil holler boo, he'll run down to the deacon committee. The average little old Baptist preacher, the devil turns on him, gets a firing at him. He runs in up on the pulpit. Let me tell you, honey, I know I'm no match for the devil this morning, but I'm glad there's a God that's greater in me than he that is in the world. I'm glad, honey, that the devil cannot have a stronghold in our life unless we allow him to have a stronghold. There's an encounter when, and I'm going to tell you what, anybody having devil problem this morning, and if you're not, you ought to just shout for them. Because it ain't if, it's when. And let me tell you, any family here raising young'uns today, it ain't if, but it's when. I'd be careful to talk about somebody else's young'uns because you ain't got yours raised yet. I'd be careful to say mine won't be doing it. Turn me up, Brother Will. I'd be careful to say mine won't do that because for long, honey, not only they be doing it, why, you crazy enough to be doing it. And I'm crazy enough to be doing it. I done found out, neighbor, when you're throwing rocks, you're losing ground. They a lot of folks throwing rocks, but they losing ground. And you better be sure of this before I get to preaching today. You remember what God said about your enemy? Pray for those that despitefully use you. In so doing, you shall be the children of the highest. It's easy to respond to people that's nice to you, but when they get to acting crazy and putting their mouth on you and meddling in your business, it sort of takes you up to another shelf of reaction today. Remember what Jesus said, you shall reap what you sow. If you sow bitterness, throw the doormat out, bitterness is coming to your house. If you sow animosity, throw your doorstep out. Hey, animosity's coming to your house. You shall reap what you sow. So I tell you what I want to do. I want to throw some kindness out to my enemies. And the kindness may not come back through my enemies. But God will bring somebody back to be sure that kindness shows up down my house. I'd be careful about hoarding my money. I'd be trying to give to the poor and help people that don't have things. Because I done found out, honey, what you sow, that shall you also reap. Some of you young people playing with sin. You know what? You're going to reap sin. Some of you playing with the world. I can save you a lot of heartaches and hurt. You're going to reap the whirlwind this morning. I wish they'd put a joint in my neck so they could pump it full of grease and oil it this morning. You notice this. It's not if He's a-coming, but it's when He's coming. I'm glad I've got about a good hour and a half to preach this morning. I'm glad I didn't get in the pulpit at 11:45 and try to warn her about your soggy chicken at about 12:15. The encounter, when, the engagement, the enemy. Let me tell you, there's a real devil. He's not a little pitchfork feller in a red suit and pointed ear. He's a real deal. He's the prince and the power of the air today. And if you're a child of God, He's your enemy. The engagement. And then watch this. There is an enlightenment. The enemy shall come in like a flood. And the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, look against him. You may be having people problem. You may be having work problem. You may be having family problem. But I can tell you who is all against it. And that's him. Said, we're going to raise up a standard against him. The devil's behind every wicked thing. Every wicked thing. The enlightenment of it. But I like this. There's an encouragement of it. The Spirit of the Lord. And there's the entrustment of it. Shall lift up a standard. Now I want to say this. When the enemy comes in like a flood. First of all, there's a foe to be advised of. A foe to be advised of. He is the enemy. In Revelation chapter 20. Boy, we get a snapshot of him. And you'll find it in Revelation chapter number 20 and in verse number 1. Here the Bible says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up. What a day when he gets shut up. Now watch this, a foe to be advised of. You see, the Bible says he's the old serpent in verse 2. That looks up in the Greek, it means a snake that is malicious. Boy, he's a low-crawling devil, ain't he? A snake that is malicious. You know, a snake can get in a least little old bitty place. I don't tell nobody. Somebody stop Miss Renee's ears up, but we got a crack I noticed in the front door down at the bottom and I ain't fixed it yet. And she can't stand a lizard. I can go outside. You know, my wife, she's got different screams, but she's got a definite lizard scream. I know when she's seen a lizard, brother, like when you've seen a rat, Brother Randall. Honey, I know that lizard scream. I mean, the hair stands up on my neck when she sees a lizard. Don't nobody tell her, but a snake could get in our front door. Brother Troy and Brother Rodney, Brother Phil, some of y'all need to come fix that crack in our door that you can throw a cat out of. Now, say amen right there, church member. Say, y'all boys, come over and help your preacher out. Boy, the devil can get in the least little old crack, can't he? You know, that's what I see about pastoring people and dealing with people. You know, any little old crack in, boy, the devil loves to come in like a snake malicious. Now, let me tell you, anybody that I looked on a commentary this week in Virginia, it's still all right to handle snakes. And now, I'll relieve some of you visitors. Georgia passed a law, it's illegal. So don't think that I'm going to pull a snake out from here any minute or nothing. But you know anybody handle snake ain't crazy. If you've got a pet snake, turn me up. If you've got a pet snake, you need your brain examined. I seen somebody at the flea market the other day walking around. She had a snake around her her head and come by and he stuck his tongue out at me. Looked like a good Baptist. They tongue's longer than their body is. So, I found out he'll get in the least little old place, won't he? You know, that's why we better be careful not to say nothing and watch our words, because the devil can get in something just like that. I wonder how many people's been knocked out of church just because you said something out of your smart mouth. And my smart mouth. Any of y'all live with a smart mouth, go on and punch him this morning. It'll be okay, lady. You've been wanting to throw a lick since you got up this morning. Go on, I'm giving you permission. The old serpent, number two, the devil. The devil. You know what he says? He says, laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil. That word devil means false accuser. He'll say, I don't know why you preaching. He says, somebody like you, the likes of you, get up, try to lead somebody to God. Somebody like you try to get up and teach a Sunday school class. Somebody like you get up and try to lead a song. What do you think you do? Some of y'all come up the doors of the church and got out of the parking lot and they'll say, what are you doing there? They don't like you there. You're not wearing the right kind of clothes to go to church there. Can I tell you, a feller's just as welcome here in a pair of Liberty overalls as he is a Ralph Lauren three-piece suit. And you just as welcome to drive a four-wheeler or come up on a mule, neighbor, or ride in a Jaguar. I don't care. I'm still praying for a doctor to come to our church. He's a false accuser. He loves to accuse you. Remember how he accuses you of what you've done and he says, God ain't forgive you for that. But you can always take him back to the book where God said, if you just confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The devil. And then he calls him Satan. That means adversary. He's not your buddy. You young people, I don't know why you're playing around with the devil, because he's going to win and you're going to lose. Boy, the internet's a good thing, but the devil sure does use it, don't he? Adversary, Satan. Boy, Facebook would be a blessing if people would watch what they'd say and post. But you can't help stupid, neighbor. You can educate ignorant, you can't help stupid. I done figured that. I told Mr. Nice, I'm going to preach on stupid in the morning. That hit about 99.5% of us, wouldn't it? You'd think the older I'd get, Brother Dave, the more sense I get. I went out yesterday wanting to shoot doves so bad. Doctor done told me to be careful, and I turn around that shotgun shot. You can't help stupid. Come back home, I told Mr. I said, well, that's more than what I thought it was. Like some of y'all, I'm going to tell her off. Backfires on you, don't it? Give her peace of my mind. You better quit giving away. You hardly got enough now to get in out of the rain. Satan, boy, he's adversary. And then he lists him here as a dragon. That means an alternate form. Isn't that something now that he's a serpent, but he'd been changed into a dragon? The Bible said, you know what? The devil can be transformed into the angel of light. I know a lot of angels told a Bible. I know a lot of fellers, evidently they are the devil because they ain't telling the truth. This right here is where you judge truth. If it don't line up with this book, you better leave them alone. Good works don't get you to heaven. Water baptism don't get you to heaven. Giving all your money away don't get you to heaven. For by grace are you saved. Saved by grace. So there's a foe to be advised of. He's the enemy. He's not your friend. Number two, not only a foe to be advised of, but there's a flood to be aware of. You now notice something about a flood. Have you noticed on TV where the flood waters have come down to New Orleans? And you'll notice that a flood is something, first of all, it's a rapid in motion. It's fast moving. He says, now when the enemy comes upon you like a flood, boy, isn't it amazing how things mount up and mount up, and all of a sudden they get so much momentum, they just overwhelm us. Some of y'all not had much devil problem because you're not sold out to Jesus. But honey, when you start drawing a line in the sand like what this young man's preaching about this morning and taking a stand saying, you know what, this church is not going to compromise. You hear me and hear me well, good Baptist people. We can build a church here with love and we can build a church here on Jesus, but we're not going to build a church without preaching the Word of God. And when you stand up and you rebuke things coming in that the people want, honey, you'll find out where you stand or not. Just like the young man said today, he's going to be sure something to come up to test your faith. Because a faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. There's some of you, I'm wondering, are you going to tuck tail and run? But some of you, I know you ain't going to tuck tail and run because you done been tested and tried. But some of you, I'm wondering, have you really got in it what you need? I'm not saying it's a shoe-in. I'm not saying that I've arrived. But in 31 years, me and this lady's had some ups and downs, but we've made it by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be tested to be sure that you can be trusted. And anybody in leadership of the church, they first ought to come through test before they can be trusted. I preach for men a lot, Brother Gerald. And folks do good with a preacher till they go against their family and what they doing. And then they find out, well, you know, he just ain't the preacher I thought he was. I'll come over here. Y'all look like y'all need some preaching over here this morning. It's got real quiet. You know, ain't it something how Brother Ken's the best preacher in the world, man, y'all ever heard? Ain't nothing like him. But you know what? He's just too hard. You know, he is doing all right till he got to preaching on my young'uns. Long as it's somebody else's young'uns. And you know, there's dressing them like the world and sending them out to the world. Then I wondered why the world got them. And our preacher told us the whole time, you're sending them to the world. And when he said, well, you just got what you've been asking for, I don't like him no more. And it's somehow the preacher loves to get all the blame. Don't get quiet on me now. I didn't write this book. I just read out of it. Don't know why y'all don't take it up with the sender instead of put your mouth on the preacher down to Piggly Wiggly. And let me tell you, if you run in with anybody that's down running your preacher, God help you this morning. You're just as guilty as they are if you sit there and condone it. What you need to decide, are you going to be on the Lord's side or heathenism's side? Some of you visitors don't like this. I'm sorry, you ain't never had a real preacher in your life. I like what the hairdressers say. I'm not a magician, I'm a hairdresser. Some of y'all go in to Sister Missy, Miss Angie, and Sister Gary's wife back there. You want a miracle done. Well, it's just so much ain't work with, neighbor. All I can do is go there and say, I want the haircut with that hole in it. And somebody was putting their mouth on your brother and sister. You know what y'all say? You need to hush, because there's two sides to every story. There's my side, your side, and the right side. Brother Jason, give me something. A black fellow down there he works with, he's always wanting Brother Jason to co-sign. He'll say, Brother Jason, now you know that's right now. I said, you heard about him doing that. I said, don't you agree with that? I love what he said. He said, man, I ain't co-signing your stuff.
What y'all need to say, whether it's in the Piggly Wiggly or in the church parking lot, hey, to God be the glory. Without God, we'd all be in hell this morning. I don't know why people's looking for perfect people. Matter of fact, I'm going to say something right now, because I ain't preached in 2 weeks. I got a whole lot to make up with. I wish some of you was looking for as many reasons to stay as you are to leave. If some of y'all was looking for as many reasons to pay your tithes and love God as you're not, you'd do a lot better.
Boy, he can change the dragon. Turn from a snake to a dragon. Any of y'all live with that person? Boy, I even seen some of you don't never say nothing smile that time. I mean, you hate to smile in church. You think you're a Catholic. From a snake to a dragon. Well, let me tell you what. He's a foe to be advised of. Two, he's a flood to be aware of. He's rapid in motion. He's fast moving. He's roaring in noise. Well, can't he bring confusion? Can I tell you something, give you some of the best advice you ever heard when in doubt? Don't. You know, a lot of times the devil brings so much confusion, I don't know what the Lord wants. And I found out every time that I made a decision in confusion, most of the time it was the wrong decision. Talking about a flood now, to be aware of, what's a flood do? It's rapid in motion. It's fast moving. And it's something the way things just mount and mount and they get momentum and they just mow you down. It's rapid in motion. It's roaring in noise. Boy, you ever heard really a roaring river at the noise? I mean, you got to get away from it to hear. It's rising in fear. Now, I'm a good swimmer, but I can tell you one thing. I don't like to be swept down the river. It's rising in fear. Me and my wife one time went down to Nantahala. I never forget, we wasn't married long, and the boat turned over, and I couldn't find her no place. I'm telling you what, I couldn't find her. Come find out she was under the raft, and it rowed her from here to the highway. I thought it was gone. Matter of fact, the only time that I've ever had my nerves to engage it, I couldn't make my teeth quit from chattering. They got me on the bank, started rubbing on me. I tore up, Brother Lee. You say, well, you know, you just this rising in fear. Yeah, I say, now, preacher, you know these things when it's mounting and obstacles, you just calm down and it'll be all right. Rising in fear. That reminds me of the surgery I had. A lot of people said, now, preacher, it ain't nothing. I didn't see none of y'all lined up at the spinal clinic. I didn't see nobody taking a bullet for the preacher. Preacher, it'll be all right. You know, it's all right, preacher. Well, lay down there and let them take a disc out of your neck. Put your head in a little fruit basket thing on a gurney. And old Sawbones walk in and say, how y'all doing this morning? Rising in fear. And I want to say this, Brother Jerry, it's reckless in nature. It destroys everything that's not anchored down. Well, the devil will blow you out of church just like that if you ain't anchored to something. The devil will blow your marriage out just like that if you ain't anchored to something. And I want to say lastly about this point, this flood to be aware of, not only is it rapid in motion, roaring in noise, rising in fear, reckless in nature, but lastly, it is regardless to boundaries. He said it shall come in. Did you notice that? Look what it says. That when the enemy shall come in like a flood, he's no respecter of boundaries. The devil will come in the church. I wish we had a perfect church. Man, y'all the talk of the town. Building on and painting the church yellow now. I mean, I've been gone a week. Brother Mike's letting them paint the church yellow. I come back, told Brother Rodney, he said, don't tell nobody. I told Brother David was painting it yellow.
I said, Brother Ryan, I don't need you stirring up stuff. I need you putting out stuff.
You know, I wish that the devil had boundaries and he had respect of holy things, but he don't. You know what? Not only will he come in a church, and he loves to come in a church where they preach in the Word and worship, neck-hugging, squalling, Holy Ghost running every place. He's not worried about some churches because he's got them. But I can guarantee you this one's on his radar. You take any church that's supporting nearly 40 missionaries, giving all their money away, getting help, people getting saved, getting baptized, joining the church, don't think that he won't come in the church. Regardless to border, shall come in the church. And let me tell you what, just because you love Jesus don't mean he won't come in your home. My wife reminded me of something the other day that I've done. Am I doing okay on time? It's 10 to 12. And it's something how when we're young and just been married, how we do crazy stuff. And even when we get older, how we still do crazy stuff. Any of y'all ever just had a fit? I used to really throw fits. Over stuff really didn't matter much. My wife told me, she said, you know that time that you really throwed that fit and done all that stuff. Talking about coming in her home now. She said, it just made me feel better if when you got out of the car raising your voice, I just drove on off. Now, I can tell none of y'all never had none of them, but now we have about 30 years ago. And I'm out to have one tomorrow. I can tell you that. I said, honey, I asked you to forgive me. Can you forgive me? She said, yeah, but it would have still just made me feel a little better. You know, he's no respecter of the home, is he? He just come in anywhere wanting. He's no respecter of the closet. Boy, isn't it something, Brother Gerald, when you're in there praying, isn't it something how he's coming there and he'll tell you all by yourself, what are you doing? What are you doing? Your prayers ain't going above the ceiling. I want to say this, not only a foe to be advised of, but a flood to be aware of. Thirdly, there's a force to be awakened of. The devil does have power, but he don't have all power. You see, in 1 Peter 5 and 8, you'll see lurking revealed. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Now, if this is getting the meat of the message, first I've run rabbits all morning. Now I'm going to buckle down and give you something. You ready? 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober. I want you to be aware. I want you to be vigilant. I want you to be on guard because your adversary, that's opponent, the devil. Young people, he hates your marriage. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you, he's looking for you. The lurking revealed. And then this force to be awakened of, not only his lurking revealed, but I'm going to tell you, his lies are realistic. Isn't it something how he can make you believe something? John 8 and 42. Isn't it amazing how he can make you think something? John 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. His lies are realistic. He ever told you anything that seemed so real and was so true? Now turn with me over here something. And look, and I'm going to run off something that Brother Jonathan had to say here one time. In Genesis 37, I've never seen a better illustration of how that lies are realistic. You ever have the devil show you something and just really blow it up? A lot of times I ask my wife brings a lot of balance to me. And I can say, honey, what you think about this? And a lot of times she'll say, hon, that's just the devil messing with you. Well, can't he, Brother Tim, can't he take a molehill and make it to a mountain. Now look what he does. His lies are realistic. In Genesis 37, we see Joseph. Joseph had a great dream in Genesis 37 and 8. Let me tell you what, people don't like somebody that a dream. Boy, I'm glad God has given me dreams. Don't put nobody down for having dreams. I have a great dream. I'm not Martin Luther King, but I do have a dream. And I'm glad he had a dream. I'm glad he had a vision for things that this country needed. Somebody say amen right there. I'm against slavery. I'm against bigotry and animosity. But honey, let me tell you something. People's not going to think a lot of you if you dream big. Some of you at your job, nobody's going to like you. You know, when I was on a drink route, I dreamed about running the plant. You know what? God gave me the dream. But the people I was working with didn't like me to have that dream. A lot of you going to church and you've had a dream of how God could use you. Just hold on to your dream. Some of you in your marriage, you're dreaming big. There's nothing wrong with dreaming big. Matter of fact, you've got to have a vision to get you where God will want you a lot of times. Glad I've had a dream. Man, we was in a storefront building. We started out yonder in front of the Southern Lady Cafe. How many of y'all was in that little storefront building that time? Boy, it ain't many left, is it? Boy, wasn't that something? And you know what? We dream big and we ain't seen yet what God's going to do. I wonder how many times when somebody's left, the devil said, well, you're going to close the doors now. I wonder how many times when somebody done something to me, the devil said, you're done. You're through. You're through. Boy, he loves to discourage you, don't he? Look what he done to Joseph's daddy. Joseph had a dream. His brothers didn't like it. Verse 20, come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him in some pit. We'll say some evil beast have devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. So they, verse 24, they took him and cast him in a pit. The pit was empty and there's no water in it. They sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked. Behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, the camels bearing spices for Ebal and Myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Judah said to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brethren and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Verse 28, there passed by Midianite merchantmen. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites 20 pieces of silver. Reuben returned to the pit. Behold, Joseph was not in the pit. He rent his clothes. He returned to his brethren and said, the child's not, and shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. Now they took the young boy's coat, the one that the father had made, the coat of many colors, and they took his coat and they sent the coat of many colors. They brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And he knew it, and look what he said. It's my son's coat, and an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. How many times has the devil, when make his lies realistic, show us a bloody coat? I mean, it just had a little blood on it, but when he got it, it started mounting up, and he said, that's my boy's coat. And I know that he's dead. Well, I'll tell you how your mind can run with you. Your mind can run you crazy, neighbor. The devil loves to make things realistic. Little lies, he loves to mount. I remember one time Renee and the kids was going shopping, it was on a weekend, and they said, I thought she said they'd be back at 6:30. But she said 10:30. Now, any of y'all have a wife that won't answer the phone? Any of y'all live with that sometimes? Some of you do. Rest of you just scared to confess, ain't you? Well, I got up at 7 o'clock. I know she's late. 7:30, she wasn't there. 8 o'clock, they've had a bad wreck. 8:30, they all dead. 9 o'clock, the house is burned down. 9:30, the phone rings. Let me tell you how wicked the devil, this is how wicked the devil is. I've been sitting there 3 hours wondering where they are, and they just out having a great time, shopping. There's probably in the coach outlet. And you know what called my house at 9:30? Brother David, God is my witness. You know what? I said, hello. They said, this is the Highway State Patrol. Whew. Y'all, can y'all ever imagine big as I do? And all of a sudden, you know what? It was the wrong number. Lord, them car lights turning that driveway. I was so mad, I didn't know whether to scream or to kiss them. They done told me where they was, but I wasn't listening. Any of y'all live with a feller don't listen? Don't he love to make lies realistic? This is going to happen. Or don't he love to just get us full of fear and drive us down to the bottom? I wish I had time to tell you just in the starts of this ministry how the devil would try to discourage me and tell me lies. There's been times. I remember one night I was sitting right here. I'll show you how real he can make it. I was sitting right here and I'd said something to a lady at Sunday school and I was just, you know, being myself. And sometimes that's dangerous. And I got ready to preach on Sunday night and I looked and she wasn't here. And you know what the devil said? You made her mad this morning. You've offended her. And she's took all of her families out and they're gone out of that church. Ain't it somehow he can make something so real, Brother Tim? Said when he comes in like a flood. Can I tell you, Jesus has instructed us to guard our mind. He said, think on these things. Boy, he loves to get us mobbed down. Now, watch. Now I'm fixing to close. He's forced to be awakened of. His lurking is revealed. His lies are realistic. But his limits are regulated. In Job, chapter number 1, you can look it up for sake of time because I'm not going to go there. God said, hey, devil, have you thought about my servant Job? He said, I done been over there and I can't get into what he's got because there's a hedge up. He said, well, listen, I'm going to let the hedge down. He said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll get everything he's got. He'll deny you. God said, no, he won't neither. He said, well, I'm going to kill him. He said, I'll tell you what you do. I'm going to take a hedge down. You can do everything, but you can't touch his life. Aren't you glad that the devil's limited? Can I tell you there's a good God in heaven that's only going to allow him to do so much? Do you think for one second if he wasn't limited, this church would be open this morning? Could I get y'all to see that? Do you understand that if he wasn't limited, every one of our cupboards would be bare today? Everybody's car would be out of gas, would have no clothes to wear. But there's only a limit that he can go. Now I want to show you something that I've seen today, and I've never seen this before, but it sure has helped me. Some of y'all may wonder. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, I want to tell you this. There's a foe to be advised of. There's a flood to be aware of. There's a force to be awakened of. But lastly, there's a fact to be assured of. There's a fact to be assured of. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. You ought to underline this because this is what the Bible says. Watch ye and stand fast in the faith. If the devil hollers boo, are you just going to run off? Stand fast. Now, here's a word. Quit you like men, be strong. That word's not our American word, means to give up and go home. It means simply this, to act manly. To act manly and grow up. Now, do you think for one second, I don't know why some of you fellas, if a man come in and try to steal your family, wouldn't you act manly and stand up and not let them do that? When the devil comes to your house, why don't you act manly and say, devil, you're not setting up housekeeping here where we live. In our church, devil, let me tell you something. You ain't setting up housekeeping where I go to church. Act manly. Stand. And here's the best advice. I wish I had time. 2 Chronicles 20. I sure wish you'd read this when you get home. I'm going to ask Miss Sherry to come this morning and just play something. I won't even need a song. I just want her to play. And I want you to see this great illustration. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 4. Jehoshaphat. He dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and he brought them back unto the Lord, God of their fathers. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we had a president would bring our nation back to the God of our fathers? And look in verse 5. He set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. In chapter 20, verse 1, came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is in Gedda. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, if you would, look in verse number 7. He says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel? Gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. They dwelt therein and have built their sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sore judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have not might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You know what the Lord said? He said, when the enemy comes as a flood, he will raise up the Spirit of the Lord and away against it. You know what he done? He said, this great company that cometh against us, we're no match for them. But Lord, we're just going to look, see what you're going to do. Lord, we're just going to look. Look what he says, verse 14. Then upon Jezeel, the son of Zechariah, Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattai, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation and said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou king of Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, look, stand ye still. Don't run, just stand. And look, and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what I done found out? God honors standing. When He's coming against your home and your family and everything you've got, even against your prayer closet, you just stand. I tell you what you do, neighbor. You be looking up. Because God's got something set against the flood. The devil will paint you a real dark picture today. And if he can get you down, steal your shout and your faith, he's got you. But I'm so glad there's a fact to be assured of. God shall set up a standard. Maybe this morning, the devil's got you mashed down real low. He said in verse 20, they rose up early in the morning and went forth. They stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets. So shall you prosper. When he had consulted the people, he appointed singers to the Lord They should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, which will come against Judah, and they were smitten. Can I tell you what? The battle's not ours, it's the Lord. I want to open this altar this morning. I asked you, do you need help in your life? Anybody having devil trouble, you come today. Anybody having mind trouble, you come today. Anybody having home trouble, you come today and lay it around the feet of Jesus. Say, "Dear God, I need to look up to You and realize where my help comes from. God, I can't do this. I can't defeat this opposition. But I know You can, and I'm going to look to the hills of where my help comes from." Can I tell you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're lost and undone without Christ. He can do anything. He can save the lowest, the vilest sinner. He can do anything in any situation because He is the Lord today. Boy, they simply just stood and looked up and said, "Lord, we're going to trust You for what You're doing for us." Oh, Lord, help me to realize this isn't my battle. God, You saved me. You brought me into Your world, and I'm grateful. God, I know You're going to keep me. And God, I know that this life may bring a lot of hurt, but it won't bring harm. Because, Lord, You love us too much to harm us. Help us, God, to be faithful. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be obedient as Brother Adam has challenged us. We love You and bless You today.